that he mischaracterizes. I think a lot of people here misunderstand. Yeah, here.
I just like to correct a misnomer or misconception that I think everybody's operating under. This whole idea was established under the Melrose concept, but it is not a Melrose district. Is that? I mean, we're talking legalistic
semantics.
Stuff. It is.
It's semantics. It's not formed under the typical Melrose, where you're taking on debt and where you're building infrastructure and all that.
Right, but I think that's the problem that a lot of people are having, is that because it was formed under the Melrose section of the legal system, that everybody assumes it's Melrose. None of this can be bonded out or anything that we want to do. It's formed under that section, but it's not something that's going to be bonded out that's going to, you know, go out and buy thousands and thousands of acres and do something with it. It's not established for that. And if I can just make
in those codes, how can you say that it's not Melrose? It's established under the codes
I'm not a lawyer, and nor do I play on TV. But I'm not. Nor do I play on TV.
I have a darn book at home. It's just thick, and there's and you have to be a lawyer to be able to understand what you're doing.
Exactly, that's my point.
Yeah, and it is Melrose.
The bonds have ended.
So okay, so everything that was discussed in this is the intent. It's not intended to apply to every parcel. And if that is a concern, and if it does feel that way, and if somebody in the future could get it wrong and try that out, we will fix it. Because that's not what's intended. No, I'm just saying.
You don't mark something in.
No. I'm talking.
And then say you can apply it differently to whatever law you're going to use.
It's not intended to be applied differently. It's based on the financial analysis. It's applied exactly the same way each time. And it's the thing that, hang on, the statement that was, if this is, the statement that is in there that is a concern that makes it seem like we could do anything with it was intended because we don't, sometimes the county will approve the change of use on a location doesn't meet the other criteria, but then when we get the application, we have to send it to our consultant to update the analysis.
We have every time.
Because we have to get
right
under the law.
I want to bring up Yosemite Yonder.
Right.
And you're talking about new development and impact fees. Because of the type of construction that you're putting on Yosemite Yonder for the glamping, because those buildings are less than 750 square feet, they are not charged an impact fee, nothing. There is over 200 of those buildings there, and you are not charging the development impact fee. So they're getting all of that without you charging an impact fee. So if somebody else puts in something that's a resort that has something in there that's over 750 square feet, they get charged.
Those are hotel rooms. There's a separate fee.
Okay. Schematics.
No, it's believe me, that is one of the primary reasons that this was discussed. That is a huge project. That's going to be a huge demand on services. Without it, we have nothing.
And why aren't you charging? And you're not charging an impact fee.
Yes.
To bring your services to
that they pay it.
Building?
They have to pay it.
And
that's the way it always works.
And when you started the CFD and you're basing it on Yosemite Yonder, all that was supposed to be disclosed. Disclosed in the CFD paperwork.
It's in the fiscal impact analysis. They've got the 200 lodging units and the restaurant, the commercial, all of that is in there, both the impact fee and
was
in
it
the
discussed in any way with any of these people before you pass the CFD so that they understood how that all worked? No.
How many meetings did you attend?
It was with the, between the developer and a proposed project. They don't.
How many meetings did I attend?
Yep.
I didn't attend any of them because I didn't know any of them were happening. How many people here knew how many meetings were held about the CFD? How many people knew? They were all on Zoom. Did any of you sit on Zoom for 2 to 3 hours to listen, to this?
But Laura, the board agenda, it was listed as CFD. Nobody knows what a CFD was.
Exactly.
We never said Mellow Roots or special tax.
We never said a community facility.
It was a ruse.
I know, sorry.
Hello, I came here tonight in the hopes that I will leave with a very clear understanding of how much this tax is going to impact vacant lots that I have in Pine Mountain Lake. How much, when I get my building permit to build on these lots, is it going to cost me up and above property tax, et cetera, et cetera? How much is your new tax going to cost a year?
The impact fee is the I'm going to give you round numbers that are going to be going to, I was going to say 2,800, I was going to round up.
And so about $2,800 and how long, I've got the mic.
That's one.
And how long will that go on?
That's one time.
Only once?
That's one time. Then the, then there is the annual tax, the 1609.
So going for how long?
It goes, it's.
Forever. No sunset clause.
I can't even say the perpetuity. It's not a, it's for the, it's to be put in a fund to increase.
I understand where it goes. I do care about, that's not what I'm talking about. Now, these lots I intend on selling. When I get someone else to buy them, I'm going to have to tell them, well, upfront, when you go to build your new dream home, it's going to cost you an extra $2,700 on top of your building permit fees and such. And then thereafter, $1,600 more than your neighbors are paying for the rest of your life. It's going to be really hard to sell that lot. Keep in mind, the house that's being built on that lot will probably be worth $400,000, $450,000 as a brand new home. It's going to bring in a lot more per unit than your chart showed, where you were looking at houses being an average of what, 250 or something.
Right. Yeah.
So you're squelching this ongoing revenue of more valuable homes,
yeah,
higher priced homes, contributing to the bottom line. Just as John had said, you're, it's going to very much deter new homes being built. I have no doubt about that. And poor Mr. Powell back there is going to be inheriting a lot of vacant lots. So are you ready, Joe? A lot of vacant lots. Enough people are walking away from the wall, right? This will be the impetus for everybody, not everybody, a huge majority of those property owners to say, forget it. I can't sell it now. It's exorbitant. I can't develop it because I don't want to get stuck with it. So please put that into the equation. It's going to really squelch new housing up here. And it's going to take away future revenue from GCSD, et cetera.
I'm going to grab it. I'm going to grab a chair real quick. Okay.
So I came here for clarification, and I'm no clearer now than I was from everything I read online. Somebody mentioned back there the development impact fees. I wasn't sure whether that was something in addition to the CFD, whatever it's called, or something that the rest of us are going to be paying as well. You mentioned that we're in the red right now, and yet there was no mention of how you're going to deal with that. Instead, all we hear about is this new impact fee, and that's supposedly only going to affect new lots and whatever, which to a point, a huge amount, I'd say. I would think that the major impact is on these resort things being built outside of your existing perimeters, or even allowed by the, what they call the SCAR. Individual lots, I think I agree that their individual lot with MTML that's already part of your original border lines is certainly not as big an impact as the yurts or whatever the heck they are up there by Rush Creek. And so I don't think there's any consideration into that with your new developed district, but I'm still confused what us existing residents that aren't going to be part of this new thing, and yet we're in the red, and what are you going to propose? Bottom line is, what are those of us that are already living here, already got our house, what are we going to be looking to in the future for assessments, taxes, fees, whatever you want to name it.
I'll stand back up now so I get to my the hard part about this is it was intended from the very beginning, this whole thing, the development impact fees and the community facilities district were intended to fill the gap so that so that existing developed lots did not have to pay that cost on behalf of the new development. And that was what the reports did, is identify what are those impacts for adding 2.3 more people, and then calculating what the cost is to provide that service and doing the math. The goal of this exercise was to keep the cost off of you. I totally get it about, you know, raising the cost of housing and everything else. I understand. I'm just, you know, the thing we're trying to get at is if some of these developing communities didn't pay attention to the fact that they were going to have, you know, another 1,000 population, you know, then who's going to pay it? Then at that time, you go to everybody and ask for it. So what this does is it appropriately puts the purchase, a proportional piece of the purchase of the equipment and the operating cost of park and fire services on new developments. And that's the way it's calculated. So it's intended to actually fill a gap that we were, you know, that we heard very clearly.
That's fine for the new development. I don't think it's fine for single rent.
I know it's unfortunately the cumulative effect. It's when those lots that are vacant develop and you need to be financially prepared to provide that service. If we just say those 500 parcels don't mean anything and they get built on, that's going to put another 1,000 people plus, and some of them are going to be vacation rentals, and then you add another 30% to that of people that are going to be looking for response, you know. So that's what this math does. It's
within TML, within your existing, I'm not talking about the yellow ones, but mm-hmm. within your original property taxes alone that those people pay should cover that. Obviously, the extra cost coming when you have to drive half hour out for the street, and that's not part of your area. So I think there needs to be a difference in the fees for those areas.
I guess the question there is, do we not plan to increase staffing in the fire department in the future?
Well, I mean, in your existing boundaries should have been in your five-year plan or something.
Right, but how do we generate the revenue for that?
Property taxes.
To everyone?
No, but if he's going to build a $400,000 home, there's a new property tax.
Okay, so but the property tax, the problem is the amount that we receive back doesn't cover the cost of providing the service. Now, I agree with you. The $295, that's number straight from the county. I couldn't generate that. I'm not smart enough. The county provides that through data that they have of what their tax value is from the county tax assessor. That's the amount that they have. And is that going to increase? Yes. We hope it increases a lot, and we don't have to worry about that gap as much. You know, we hope that the goal was for this to offset that cost and you not pay extra. That was what the whole purpose of this action was. We got, okay, sorry, yeah.
I think part of the confusion here is none of us knew what was going on. We've been asked why we weren't we in the meetings. Well, I can't speak for everybody else here. But I was on the Caldor fire. I was on the Glen fire. I was on the River fire. So I'm not here to go on the meetings at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday because I'm out fighting fire. This board works for us. They are our representatives. They're supposed to be our elected officials to voice our opinions through them because they work for us. You work for us. You do a heck of a good job on 99% of the stuff. But man, we got a difference of opinion here. Because when you take a postage size stamp piece of property called Yosemite Yonder instead of the Star, and you say that is going to cause everything inside of your district to be eligible to be part of the community services district, the Mellerus, which is the first word that comes up when you look up CFD, Mellerus. There's been a failure to communicate here with all of us that are represented by your board and represented by you because you work for us and you run our community services district, our fire department, outstanding guys doing the best they possibly can. It just doesn't seem to me like it was explained to me, even after doing months of research now, that we don't understand why a postage size stamp on side of a legal envelope, which is your district, should change all of us. It should be new developments only, not existing. Number six scares the heck out of me. Anything that your staff determines, that's scary. That's a scary thought. When I read that without explanation, that scares me. Anything your staff determines is a negative fiscal impact.
Well, trust me.
Yeah, trust me. We're from the government. We're here to help.
I knew that was coming.
Pete, we've met. We've talked to each other. Standing toe to toe, we've talked to each other over the Measure B issues. And I personally, and other people in this community, Farm Bureau, offered assistance in giving you any input we possibly could. You are already 6 months into this process, and you didn't mention it. One time every month, I get a bill from GCSD for my water bill. Not once did I get anything in any of the mailers that came to me once a month. You already paid the postage, which I paid through my rates. That was anything sent to me. We the people didn't understand what you're trying to do to help us. We might have supported this 100% if we understood it. It's too big. It's too much to chew in one mouthful. We didn't understand, and now it's done. We don't like it.
You rescind this and do it right.
Microphone, you got somebody behind you. Said their hand up. I'm glad people's arms are getting tired.
You know, unfortunately, Pete, this is extremely complicated, which is what you alluded to earlier, and the kind of the big problem under the surface here, which people brought up over and over again, is that you do all this, you charge these new developments, whatever you're going to charge them, and it still doesn't fix the problem. It fixes a little bit incrementally for their added burden on the district. It doesn't fix the overall problem. What I think you need to do is just charge us each $25 more a month and fix the $270, you know, if we fall in deficit for every piece of property we got here. Just figure out what it is, divide it up. I don't care whether you proportion that by value or whether you just peanut butter it across. Just charge us somewhere between $15 and $70. I don't care. And be done with it. And fix the problem.
It has to be approved as a special tax. And I appreciate.
Well, no, I understand.
To vote on this one.
It has to go because
we have five people everyone. That voted for 4,400 people.
We need to make sure that it doesn't apply to you. That's all I can say because there's never intended to apply
six,
to you.
That at some point in time it'll never apply to me.
I commit. That's what I was saying by change. I commit to you that we will address that. That is not the intent, and I don't want anybody feeling like that. There's any wiggle room on this thing.
It needs to be set out. It needs to be explained. The fees need to be explained. All of this needs to be set out. It's like a contract that you didn't ever put out for anybody to read. We're signing a contract that is a Pelosi-fied contract. You got to sign it, and then you see what's in it.
He had his hand up, Laura, and the gentleman up there. I think that's three more.
Thanks. Pete, I just think from a viewpoint of a person that's been here for 40 years selling real estate in Pine Mountain Lake, $60 million a year in sales, 30 agents. Right now, you've got lots in Pine Mountain Lake. I own 11 of them. I've got five of them on the market for $1,000 a piece, and they won't sell. Pine Mountain Lake, you've got, what, 10 lots?
14.
14. Can you sell them? No. These lots are not going to sell. You are shooting yourself in the foot. They won't sell for $1,000 a piece. Most of them are cliffhangers. You got 500 lots out there. There may be 100 out of that that are buildable. The other 400 are pretty much cliffhangers. Mm-hmm. I've got five of them that are cliffhangers. I can't give them away. Yeah. I just quit paying GCSD fees on it. I pay $40,000 a year to keep those lots, and I've had them for 20 years. Had it up. I finally gave up. I gave the lots, I'm giving them back. I'm not paying GCSD fees anymore. I'm not paying Pine Mountain Lake dues anymore. You're going to get another, as soon as you foreclose on them, you'll get another five. My point is, you're shooting yourself in the foot. You're not going to get any income from these lots you're trying to put these fees against. I think you can get them from large development, but these 400 lots out there you're counting on, it's not going to happen. So I'm saying, come up with another way. I agree. We love our fire department. We want this. I would have loved to have seen this go district-wide, where everybody pays $125 or whatever, and we're all covered. You've held this whole meeting saying, now, we want to make sure you people realize it's not going to affect you because you're afraid that that's, everybody's going to get up in arms. I think everybody here agrees. I mean, half of this problem is due to being underfunded now, not by new development, but by what exists. So let's get everybody included and pay for it with existing people and add on for new development, but you won't make the money from Pine Mountain Lake lots.
Good. Guess who I get to meet with tomorrow morning? The Government Affairs Committee of the Board of Realtors in Sonora. That's going to be a fun one. So I totally appreciate it. I know that that itself will be a very similar conversation.
Well, they don't have anything to do with it.
Well, they deal with it countywide.
There's not a one of them that knows anything about
Pine Mountain. Okay.
They don't care. They don't come up here. Believe them. They won't have anything to do with Pine Mountain.
Maybe, yeah. And so I don't know. I'll find out what they're
interested in.
Robert, can you hold it for? All right, okay.
May I ask, what percentage of your calls come from Rush Creek, roughly?
I have some rough numbers, but they're really relatively very small.
Just give me a swag.
I couldn't.
That was 2% of the calls come outside of the district.
2% outside the district. 10% outside the district.
10%.
And you get, as I understand it, and I'm clear, you get no revenue off of those calls from Rush Creek. Or what was the other development up there?
Evergreen. Any of the camps or anything.
Or any of that. All out of district.
Right.
Are there, I think I understood that there's two other resorts on the boards.
Yes.
Berkeley's big. Are there other?
Yeah,
other
under campus in Cherby. Yeah.
And those, are those going to be in or out of the district?
Out.
We shouldn't be servicing
them. There's, yeah. There's a huge elephant right in the middle of the room.
Well, Kathleen knows, you know, I mean, we and John probably too, you know, John wasn't there all the way through the discussion, but I mean, we've come a long way with the county, a long way, and But still, yeah, there's a, the county's worse off than we are in, you know, per unit. And anyway, I'm not giving them an excuse to not pay, but we, in reality, if there was a county fire station staff out here, that would handle this need for expansion of the fire department. I mean, it you know, that it's something we'll continue to work on. I mean, these guys have been extremely cooperative in trying to move this big animal that the county is, and we've got great support from our supervisor in district, and there's at least an understanding from the others about that. But this is something that needs to be voiced also at the LAFCO meeting on the 8th here.
Monday.
That's that very issue of the demand for services, because LAFCO is the body that determines what our boundaries are and whether we're meeting a standard. That's, and it's an independent body of 7, 2 from the city council of Sonora, 2 from the county, 2 from special districts, and 1 public member.
Yeah.
Norma, she couldn't hold her arm up anymore. And then Tom, we probably should call it.
I just wanted to say, with the out of district ones, we have a lot of permanent residents that are on site at those hotels, and they've expanded their residential housing for their employees. That should weigh into how that's looked at from that meeting. With the 2, 2, and 2, as far right. as it is permanent residents, it isn't just on site and visitors. So it does change the dynamics and the potential call volume.
Mm-hmm.
I really am concerned on number 6, and I just keep coming back to that, because you have to pull a permit to change out your hot water heater or your deck or anything of that nature. At that point, that would trigger this for my current residents.
If somebody wanted to violate the law and apply it to you, they, you know, I mean, that's some, you know, like I said, you're with the government, we trust you, whatever. It, you know, it's against the law. It's not contemplated in the formation of the community facilities district. It's not in the fiscal impact analysis. There's no reason. It'd be crazy to. You're not changing the demand for services by adding a deck, adding a bedroom, adding, you know. So we need to fix that. Like I said before, somehow we'll work through that. Stay tuned, watch the agenda, be there. If you send me, I will always reply to your email, usually within 24 hours, sometimes right away. Your email or text or call me, leave me a message. I'm less efficient at that, but.
So the second part I have is your agendas. If you would please bring the agendas for posting on our community boards at both post offices like they used to, that gets a lot of oversight from the community. You can always put them in the PML News and the Highway Herald to reach everybody in this community. Those are the two items that almost everybody sees, because they have a local mailing address. We just want to make sure that we don't have something like this where nobody's putting input in because nobody understands what's going on. If we can just get more visibility and transparency into what's happening before we get a product like this, because this is something that's really going to negatively impact our community with the Mellow Ruse or CFP, whatever title you want to put it under, it's going to affect our development in the future.
You also have to come on the board. Add to our mailboxes too, because I look at all that stuff that we've been over there.
I'm getting a head nod from Rachel. She's all right, yeah. That Janice and Rachel have got to figure out. Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, we can share. Just real quick on the issue specific things, though, because the agenda usually comes out on Thursday before the meeting, we're not always going to make those venues. But if we know in the future we're going to be dealing with some issue, it can be just a you know, general manager saying, keep an eye on something.
If you email it to me, I'll print it and post it for you.
Okay.
So Rachel, you know the email.
Okay, can we do, really, really wants to, you guys want to fight it out? I mean, Tom's had his hand up for quite a while. He's up against the wall.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm thinking, if I'm in your position, I'm going to be talking to the county, my husband. If we look at the explosion of Airbnbs, if we look at the expansion of resorts and so forth, and that TOT is at 12%, I'm going to be saying, what proportion are we generating revenue to the county? What proportion is coming back to us to support our fire and so forth? I think we get a very small proportion of that TOT, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but if we've got 2 million visitors coming through this highway every year, and we're expanding these resorts, and those people are coming, there's a lot of TOT being generated, being sent to the county of Sonora. I want to see how many dollars are coming back to us, since we're the ones that are generating that revenue.
Yep.
Imagine sitting at the public hearings when these projects were going forward, and my only my only leverage, really, other than having support from from John and from Kathleen and just a little bit of support, was saying we're not going to respond. You guys are way too far out. You're outside of our zone. You're outside of our mutual aid response area. You're not paying anything. You're jeopardizing our services. We're not going to respond. That doesn't sit well with the people in the uniform that have to get in the truck that see a life going away in front of them. You know, I absolutely agree and respect. When I asked Chief, I said, what's it going to feel like when I say don't respond? He said, we can't. It's just, they can't. So we got to figure out a solution to it. I appreciate that.
What do you think?
I don't know. Don't make me call it.
Thank you. This question is for the board. You've been sitting here listening to us now for 2 hours. Is this a done deal? Listening to the crowd and everything else, have you changed your mind? There's been no transparency on this. Are you still going forward with this?
Here's our board. What do you say?
Okay,
board, answer us.
Thank you, Ron.
So, since this is not an agendized action item, this is a technicality of boards, okay? We can potentially individually, probably after the meeting, tell you what our individual thoughts on that are. But the board can only take action as a board. Just do that, we have to have an agenda item. So, I mean, the question you're asking is something that we are not legally able to answer. Just, we can't just sit up here and go, wait 1 second. Yeah, have a problem.
Just asking if it's a done deal. Is it a done deal?
At the moment, it is
done.
A done deal, but that does not mean that we can't, if there are issues, in my understanding, my personal understanding of, as I understand it, the details of the CFD, I don't actually know where this, I have to admit, I'm not quite sure where this bullet point about the district staff making a determination. I mean, basically, this is for new development.
On your ordinance.
Yeah.
It's a separate resolution. It's signed.
It was a resolution.
It was signed and dated.
Oh, that's in the resolution. Yeah, okay. So we got to fix that. I mean, in my opinion, is we need to clarify that, because that is not. If you miss that, then we got to fix that.
But we're asking you to reconsider this in your next board meeting.
Put this on the agenda.
This is
to possibly rescind this. It can go on an agenda.
It can go on an agenda.
We're asking you to
discuss
that. That's what we're asking you to do.
Well, okay, there's two things we could do. There's options when we go to reconsider it.
we could rescind it and then start over. We need to, I mean, okay, I'm just talking personally now. We need to do this. I mean, Pete has explained, I think, fairly clearly what the issue is with future services, for, you know, expansion of future services is driven by new development. It's not, in fact, mostly driven by single family houses. It is, I mean, the motivation for this was Yonder Yosemite. I mean, we'd love to be able to do it for things outside the district, but we can't do that legally. So that's, you know, that's where the main functioning of this is. And so that's something we could even discuss. There may be some legal reasons why we can't just apply it to exempt single family dwellings. I don't know. But we need to look at the details of how this is constructed and whether that means we rescind it and start over, or whether we just modify what is already there. That is something we need to discuss. And for one, you know, we also need to do a much better job of explaining what it is that we're doing, because clearly I'm probably going kind of outside of what I should be saying.
But thank you for communicating with us. We appreciate that. Thank you.
This board has done an excellent job up until now. I've been so proud of what you've been accomplished, this particular board, over the last couple of years. I mean, just change. MP, amazing. I'm not attacking you or anything else. It's just the way it came about. It's just backwards. Yeah, this meeting should have been done a long time ago before it was put on the agenda.
I'd like to hear from the board president. I'd like to know if you would consider rescinding this and fixing it right.
Okay, I heard you say thank you.
Okay. I honestly, I'm not county council, I'm not district attorney, but what's being asked is for you to make a decision. You're sitting as a board, you can't make a decision. You can't even allude to the fact of what you're going to do. You can have a conversation individually, but as soon as that person goes around to three board members, we've got a problem. We have to be extremely careful. I'm not yelling at anyone. I'm just saying we can't answer that question. We won't answer that question because I don't want to be answering to the grand jury about why we had this conversation.
Put it on your agenda.
I already said I would about 20 minutes ago.
This is the whole thing all over.
We're definitely going to consider.
Can I just say the one thing I'm taking from this is you yourself are uncomfortable with the section 6. About the fact that
absolutely,
I see this as something you start to be frank and that should be on the agenda. That should be on the agenda. That you got concerns, I have major concerns. That I don't believe that I will not implement something. But if you look at past history, you said, and I'm not criticizing this, but it's a lot.
Can't hear you back here. We cannot hear you.
Get your mask off.
Okay, so what I'm taking from this is a discomfort that I'm seeing from the representatives here about that section 6. I don't believe that that will not be implemented in the future. It needs to be removed. It should be on the agenda, because that's what we've heard, all this uncertainty. We support the police. We support a lot of what GCSD will do. I do not support something that makes him sweat when he's telling me about it, because that makes me sweat, and I don't like it. I think that should be on the agenda. I know I was out of the country for a month, so maybe I missed that. I get a bill from you. I want to see this stuff up there, and I would object to that last line. And I think if it makes you uncomfortable, it should make everybody in this district uncomfortable. That's all I have to say.
Okay, Pete, last question.
Oh, we can bid for it.
Last question, Ms. Chapman, you're right here.
So is LAFCO going to be approving the boundary, the sphere of influence, the boundary change, or has that already been done?
There's no proposed boundary change that I'm aware of, but they will not be approving anything at this upcoming meeting. They've already said in their agenda documents, but that's not different. That's the same that already exists.
Okay.
So there's no change. The only recommendation that we made was that there are a couple of anomalies in the boundaries. There's a development on the east side, whatever. anyway, that we respond to a lot with fire department. It's half in and half out.
Oh, Yosemite Estates.
Yeah, and it's the, oh, that's, and it's right on the boundary of the sphere of influence. It makes no difference if they're in or out. We're still responding. We don't get any money because they're not in that red zone, but I still think they should clean it up because that's, that should have been done in the beginning. Okay. Because,
and I think what was discussed earlier was the board making that decision. So August 10th is when everything was unanimously approved, correct?
That
regarding
was
the formation of the CFD?
No, it was July. August was the second reading and approval of the special tax ordinance that applies to the people in
Act. And this is what's going to be discussed at the former meeting, so we can get some.
I have some pretty good concepts about how we can alleviate at least the concerns that that I've heard and that I'm aware of, and to make me stop sweating.
Okay. Well, because the current situation as it is now, as all the paperwork that's been in place, and I've gone through a lot of it, I've done a lot of research and all this reading on Belarus. Is there anything that would prevent you from adding current existing homes and businesses into a newly developed CFD?
There would be if we did not conduct a, or if we conducted a an impact analysis and looked at what that change of use would be, and if that change of use was going from a retail business to a kidney dialysis center or something that, you know, they were doing something that was going to, that in accordance with the law and everything else was a complete change in the call demand. It's no longer, a retail business. It's no longer a downtown general commercial property, and it's all of a sudden a medical facility. I mean, I'm just throwing out an example late in the discussion, and I'm not doing a good job.
You're so sweating, yes.
Well, no, I mean, I just can't. I mean, I'm drawing at straws. I want to close that gap. If there is one, I want to find a way to shut that down so that there's no question. What that does, as soon as we do that, though, is if that thing comes up, I won't have the leeway to address it. If we say it won't, it can't, it never will, there will be some that squeeze through that will be, yeah, great, you know, they can't. That's okay. I'm not, we're just trying to fill a gap. That's all we're trying to do here is not be subsidizing your building, you know?
And I think we're all in agreement that we all support the fire department. If you were to go with a special tax or special assessment, I think we would all be okay with that.
Yes.
But not if it, but it has to have a sunset clause. It can't be open-ended. You can't keep increasing it every certain percentage every year. I mean, it's just, you know,
we'll talk about special tax
too.
We'll talk about that.
Okay.
Because a special tax with a sunset clause doesn't allow you to buy equipment, and it doesn't allow you to be able to make a commitment to long-term services. But that's a conversation for another day.
I just have a math.
Math.
So in reviewing the documents and what we've all said here tonight, so I inherited 15 acres downtown here on Elder Lane.
Nice.
Two structures are not over. We don't have enough rental properties for people to live here if they want to work. So my plan was invest in making those livable residences out of one parcel. But now, as it stands, with it enacted, am I going to be paying $2,000 and change to enact the permits, and then $1,609 per house per year until the foreseeable future?
Are these going to make the definition of accessory dwelling units, or are they going to be bigger?
They're
1,200 square feet,
yeah,
and less?
They're like, one's 1,100 and one's 1,450.
It might apply to the 1450. It can't apply to accessory dwelling units. So anything over 1,200 is exempt.
Okay, but I'm just trying to be from, back here, like
from the impact fees,
and it's based on structure, not
I don't know about the CFD. I'll have to get back to you.
Okay, I'm just sharing this from a productive vote.
I got
a community member trying to make a difference, but now I've got to pocket money to make you all work.
Let me address that with you specifically. Okay. Again, call me, email me. I'm better at email, but I'll answer your text. I'll answer your email. You can make an appointment, come sit with me.
But as it stands, like, that could be an active
No, it's got to go, still has to go through the county. It has to go, the impact fee has to be adopted by the county, and the CFD has to go into the building process and everything else. We've got some time.
I'd like to end with a compliment. You are very good at getting that to people. I got an email from you at 43 minutes after midnight one morning. So I want to compliment you. You have tried for direct questions. You've been very good about getting that test. I think there's a problem with the overall what's gone on. You said if in this meeting for the last 2 years, in the research I found 1 year, we can all hide everything we want behind COVID restrictions and Zoom meetings and when they are and everything. But I would like to end with a compliment for our fire department that takes care of us in every way possible. General manager are doing an outstanding job. We don't know what's going on. We're asking for transparency so that we can support what you're doing. Help you modify some things maybe. But we want to support, we want our community to be healthy, we want our community to be safe. But we have to be involved. If we're not involved, you can see what happens. We get angry. And then we become pests. And we don't want to be that. We want to be involved. So thank you, board. Thank you, Pete. Thank you, fire department.
Yeah.
The meeting is now adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Recording stopped.
No, we're going to leave them up because we have the LAFCO meeting on Monday. So we're just going to leave it set up. Bye, Marvin.